But I want to start the message today by talking about something that if you've ever started. How many of you guys know about CrossFit? The idea is CrossFit, it's like a fitness thing. And they always say the way you know someone does CrossFit is because they will tell you. Well, it's the same for anyone who has run a marathon before. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm a marathon runner. I don't know if you know this about me. But in 2023, I started running. 2023, I also stopped running, but that's another story. But 2023, I started running, and when I started running, I had these very basic shoes that I thought were running shoes. Turns out that they kind of destroyed my legs for a little while. Oh, welcome, hi, thank you. I'm in the spotlight. So I was running with these shoes, and I thought running was a very cheap sport. Auntie still tells me it is, but when I started running, I thought you just put shoes on and you go and run. Thank you. That's what I thought. So I was like, let me do a 10K. So I was like, no, I'm good with a 10K. And I was like, I'm going to do a half marathon, 21. Okay, so 21Ks. And then I was like, let me do a 30K. So I ran a 30K. And then you start getting sucked into this running vortex where everyone's like, you ran with those shoes. What is wrong with you? Do you want to destroy your body? I was like, I don't want to destroy my body, no. So like, you need these shoes. You also need this hydration vest. I was like, what do I need that for? To stay hydrated. Okay, fine. So I buy myself a hydration. And then I've got like these shorts, like special running shorts. Fine. So I can't just put on like, you know, swimming shorts and go outside and run. Okay, fine. And then it's like, you need a watch. I was like, what do I need a watch for? To look at your heart rate. Okay, fine. And so eventually I'm, you know, like flipping. I was about to say Usain Bolt, but he only ran for 10 seconds. But I'm like, I'm running and I've got all these special things. And I was thinking about this when it comes to this series around personal evangelism. I think for many of us, we can look at sharing our faith with others. And it feels like I need all of these like special gadgets and equipment. And like, I've got to be this elite Christian to be able to figure out what I'm doing when it comes to sharing with others. And it's like it's the deep end of the pool. And I was just thinking about it. It's like, no, man, like I think sharing my faith with others is much more like me just putting on my average running shoes and just going outside. I want to say it this way. I think it should be one of the easiest parts of our faith. Because it's an overflow of what God's done for us. We just can't help but tell others. And I want to share a little bit about that this morning. And so we've been going through this series and talking about this one verse from Psalm 66, verse 5. It says this, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He's saying like, come and see what God's done in my life. He's done so many good things. And so that's where we're going to continue on talking about this idea of come and see today. But particularly, I want to focus in on a couple of verses that Jesus shares with us in the book of Matthew chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, you can turn with me. If not, the verses are going to be up on the screen. But Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16 says this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus is saying something to us, and really this is the title of my message today. It's very basic, but this is what he's saying to us. You are the light. You are the light. I want to encourage you today, if you're a Christian in the room, I just want to remind you, you are the light. What is that to say? If you are the light, it is to say that we should be a people who illuminate the pathway to Jesus. We should be a people who illuminate, who light up the pathway, that in how I live, in how I speak, in the words I say, that I should be someone who helps others to see Jesus through the way I talk, through the way I live, through the way I pray. And so I'm going to encourage us through the message today to discover how we can be the light to those around us. And so let's start with that question. Sure. The question is, how do we live as the light? How should I live as the light? Because my contention to you today is, I don't know if you ever did this like growing up, or maybe some of you still do it. When I was growing up, I used to go to the cinema just every now and then to watch a film. And how many of you guys know if you go to the cinema, the popcorn or the sweets in that place are so expensive? So what we would do growing up is my parents, if they were ever going to take us to the cinema, they knew that I was going to be asking for something. So opposite the cinema, there was a supermarket. And so we'd go and park in the supermarket and pretend we were shopping there. And then you'd go in and you'd buy all the cheap sweets and popcorn. And then you put it under our jacket because you weren't really meant to take it in with you. And then you'd hide it. And then you'd go, and you know, I'm like this kid with like this jacket is filled up. And they're looking like, what's in there? Nothing. It's fine. And then by the time you get into the cinema, you'd open your jacket, all these sweets and popcorn would fall out. And then you're in a dark room so no one can see that I haven't bought this from this place. And that's how some of us live kind of week to week as Christians, is we live as if like we've got all this really great stuff, but we're hiding it week to week. We're going our way through life. And then we get to Sundays and we're like, great is your faithfulness to me. And then, oh, let me put it back. And Jesus specifically encourages, says, you are the light of the world. Don't hide it. Yeah. We're meant to illuminate the path. How do we do it? How do we be the light for others? Yeah. And I think Jesus shows us how to be the light, actually a few verses before. Jesus gives his kingdom manifesto, how the world is meant to be in his kingdom. In it, just a few verses before in Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3 to 11. And some of you will know this as the Beatitudes. So if you've not heard of these before, let me just show you these. This is Jesus' manifesto for how we should live. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It continues, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus says, if you live this way, this is the kingdom manifesto. The very next verse, he said, you are the light of the world. So you imagine in a sermon, we can't separate these two ideas. Jesus is showing us how to be the light. And we've got these nine concepts of what it looks like for us to be the light. But I want to focus in on one of them today that I believe if we can really focus in on one of these concepts, not only is your life going to be blessed, like really blessed, it's also going to stir you for the purpose of this series that we're talking about to share your faith with others. Yeah. And so let's have a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Let's just look there together. Matthew 5, verse 8. And this is where we're going to focus in this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When throughout the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels, whenever someone saw Jesus and some kind of miracle happened, or in some way, someone's eyes were opened that Jesus is God, two things always happened. The first thing that always happened was that they worshiped him. They always responded in worship. And the second thing, unless Jesus said otherwise, and he did in certain situations forbid people to talk about what he'd done, but unless he'd said otherwise, the second thing that always happened is they ran and told others about Jesus because they had seen God. Like their eyes were opened and they'd seen God. They realized in that moment, it's like, whoa, 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 this is different. That he's here. Like, that God is here. The Messiah is here. God, the one we've been waiting for, he's arrived. He's here. And their eyes were open that they saw him. And let me tell you, church, like, the thing I've been praying for and I feel stirred more and more and more about is this, that I want us to see God. I want us to see him. Because I think when we see him, I don't want you to just hear about him. I want you to see him. I want you to experience him. I was listening to a preacher recently. He said something that has stuck with me. He said, if I can, as a preacher, talk you into it, someone on YouTube can talk you out of it. So I need you to experience God for yourself. I want you to experience God. If we, and more and more, this is why I'm praying for our services together, that you would experience God. We heard it in a testimony this morning, that it was the fourth week of someone coming that God spoke. That's why I encourage people, come to church every Sunday. Don't just every now and then and think you, it's like sometimes the consistency and the comfortability of being in an environment is going to create space in your heart for your heart to be open. And for you to see God. And so I want to, and we're investing into our services. You guys know we've just taken on Michaela to oversee our services. Why? Because we're trying to create environments. Like, I felt the presence of God as we were hearing that testimony today. You know, we're going to be seeing our worship team grow over the next couple of weeks. Why? Because if we can see anything in this space, I want to see God. I want to experience him. I want to know him differently. I'm more hungry to see him in this space than ever. That's why I'm like, don't miss out on a Sunday, because God's here. I want us to see God. But what does the verse say, if we can bring it back up? Matthew 5:8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. For they will see God. I'd love us to look together at a story in the Bible this morning of two individuals who saw a miracle, who saw God at work, and had two different responses. So why don't you turn with me, if you have a Bible, to John chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 1 to 6. Before we read the verses, let me give you some context. John chapter 11 is the story of one of the greatest miracles that happens in Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus goes to this place called Bethany, where people he know, friends of his, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, live. And the story is that Lazarus dies. And Jesus was notified ahead of time, but for God's glory, he died so that there could be a better resurrection. And Mary and Martha, they come out and they're grieving. And the Bible says Jesus wept because he was grieving. And then he went, and in his grief, there was a miracle that took place. So Jesus goes and he raises Lazarus up from the dead. Unbelievable, like, crazy story. And there's a miracle that happens. And then the next verses, let's read together what happens, the response to this miracle, the very next chapter, the response to this miracle. We find in John 12, 1-6. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why hasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Can we just pause? A year's wages. That's a lot of money in one audacious act of worship. A year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, It's a little bit of color commentary from John for a second. Because he was a thief, as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Stealing from the ministry of Jesus to make a little bit of money. So I want us to look at these two responses to seeing a man raised from the dead. The one was this outrageous, audacious act of worship. Where Mary comes in, she sees that this is the one true God, this is the living God with them here and now. And she says, how can I give the man who has everything something? And she says, man, I've got this money, or I've got this perfume. We don't know if she already had the perfume or if she went to buy the perfume. We don't know what happened there. But what we do know is this perfume was worth a year's wages. And in one outrageous act of worship, unbelievable act of worship, which she put her reputation on the line for, because the Bible then says that when she poured it out, she took her hair and she wiped his feet with her hair. It's almost a disturbing act. It's over the top. Like, I think some of us would be uncomfortable, myself included, if we saw this. If you're a Christian, you may be familiar with the story, so it seems normal to us now. But this is a crazy act of worship, which later on in the story, we see that Jesus endorses this type of worship. Sure. That he says, why? Because the response that Mary had in this moment was, I've seen something. I've seen God. I see him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And there was only one reasonable response. She said, I have to worship him. I have to pour myself out. I have to find a way to pour myself out. And then we see the other character in the story, Judas. Now, as soon as you talk about Judas, we've all demonized Judas in our minds already, right? It's like, he's the one, like, even in our kind of how we'll talk, we can say, oh, you're such a Judas. Everyone knows what that means. But let's just humanize him for a second. This is a man who has spent most of, we assume, the 3 years of Jesus' ministry with him. On some level, we have to assume that he believed he was the one who was to come. Judas, we talked the last couple of weeks about when the 12 were sent out, the 12 disciples, with power. Judas was one of them. Judas goes about praying for people to get healed, and they were healed. Judas goes about casting out demons, and they fled. And then the 72 were sent out, and guess what? Judas was there as well, and probably mentoring some of the other ones. Hey, when we went out as the 12, this is what we did. Come with me. Let me show you how this works. Judas is going around, and he's helping the ministry of Jesus, presumably thinking that this is the one who was to come. But at a certain point, he couldn't get on board with Jesus' agenda. See, at the time, we understand that they wanted a Messiah that was going to come and conquer the Romans. Perhaps Judas was on that train. He was like, man, I want you to be a military leader. Or maybe there was another reason why. But for whatever reason, at a certain point, Judas cannot believe that this money is being spent the way it is. That the money had his heart. That he's taking it out of the money bag that was meant to be for the ministry. And at a certain point, Judas gets to this response where he is disgusted by this act of worship. To the point where, in front of the one who he presumably thinks might be the Messiah, he stands up and he says, how could you do this, Mary? See, here's the thing that I think is a helpful check for us. When we see God move miracles in our lives, when we see testimonies of others, because again, Mary, this was not Mary's testimony. She was part of it. This was Lazarus' testimony. This was not Judas's testimony. This was Lazarus's story. But so let me ask, when you see miracles happen in our church or in the lives of others or maybe in your life, how do you respond? Do you respond with audacious worship? Like crazy acts of worship? Or do we respond with questioning others? They're a bit over the top when they shout in worship, eh? It's a bit much, you know, when they do the jumping and worship, when it's a bit much. Like, let me tell you, if you knew what some of these people who worship had gone through, if you knew the miracles, it wouldn't surprise you that they're shouting to Jesus. It wouldn't be shocking at all. If anything, it would say, well, why aren't you doing more of that? Like, do you know what he's done for you? But some of us will come into environments of worship, or we'll come into environments in church. We say, you give a lot of your time. I mean, you show up an hour earlier to church to serve. That's a lot. Are you kidding me? Do you know what he's done for me? This is the least I could do. Like, do you know what he's done for me? Because Mary takes a year's wages and pours it out. She pours it out. And in doing so, I think the reason she does it is because the pure of heart will see God. I was at a church conference this week, and one of the pastors reflected on a thought that stuck with me. He said he'd lived under a number of different presidents and lived under the rule and authority of these presidents. He was governed by these presidents, American preacher, so he's talking in the US context, but you can imagine the same here. He was saying, you know, I've had all these presidents, and they've all, to a certain extent, ruled or governed over my life. But he said, I've never seen one of them. I've never seen one of them in person, but their governing has influenced my life one way or the other. He said, in the same way, we can follow Jesus and we can be under his rulership and lordship, but never see him. And I think a lot of Christians can follow the concepts of Jesus, can follow the ideas of Jesus, can be attracted to the teaching of Jesus, can occasionally sit in the house of Jesus, but never see Jesus. Why? Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So can I challenge us with a thought this morning? And a thought that, let me just be clear, is challenging me. This is not me preaching to you, it's me sharing a conversation I'm having with God. If our response to seeing God at work in our lives is not outrageous worship and telling others about him, I query if we are seeing God. Yeah, and if we're not seeing God, we know the reason why. Because there is impurity in our hearts that means we can't see him. Sure. And so Jesus wants to come and purify us. Why? So we can see him. I think if we see him, everything changes. Yeah. Once you see God, you can't live the same. Because suddenly you've gone, I've discovered the reason why we're here and the meaning. This is it, guys. This is everything. We can't go back to our normal lives. We can't live the same way. We can't just carry on how we've been living once we see him. And my prayer for us as a church is we would see God. You know, we're going into, over the next 10 days as a church, 10 days of prayer. And we're going to be praying and drawing near to God. And we're going to be asking the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. We're also going to be praying that people in our lives would come to know Jesus. That we'd be praying that people would come and see what God has done for me. And that prayer is more powerful and effective when I see him. Because if I am just inviting people to a club or a community, then it's fine. I mean, I can invite and that's cool. But when I say, when I know I've seen God, it's different. There's something that changes in my heart that says, I want to draw near to him. And man, you should see him. See, this is why I think this is not about being some elite Christian, that I get all the right running shoes and the running watch and the hydration vest and the whatever. This is like every person you think of, the woman at the well, she saw Jesus and then she went, oh my gosh, let me go and tell everyone I know. Because she worshipped and she went and told everyone. That's the only appropriate response to seeing God. And so again, I want to just ask us the question. If that is not your response today, then what impurities are in our hearts that Jesus wants to free us from? He wants to bring us freedom and life. He wants to bring us a shift, a change, that we would see him. And I believe as we see him, man, your life is going to be blessed. It's going to be blessed. You know, Matthew 26, verse 13, Jesus, it's one of the other gospels that tells the story of Mary's audacious act of worship. It says, truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. I want to say it this way this morning, that your secret worship will become your public light. You know, if you are the light of the world, then where does the light come from? How do we discover the light? How do we live as the light? I think it's when your secret worship, when it will overflow. It won't stay in the secret place, because you'll be so enamored with his presence that it will flow through you. I want to encourage you today, if you say, man, the idea of sharing my faith feels intimidating, it feels big, it feels overwhelming, let me just tell you that I would encourage you, go and discover him again in the secret place. Go and worship him. Go and rediscover your first love, as the book of Revelation encourages the church. There it says, you've missed out on your first love. You've forgotten the whole reason. Go back to the place of worship and find him again. And when we worship him in the secret place, when we worship him in that moment, we will see the light of Christ shine through us. We will see the goodness of God flow through us. I want to encourage us today, church, that actually sharing your faith, evangelism, it's actually one of the easiest things. It's only hard when we're not seeing God. That's when it gets really tough. Because then I do it out of duty, I do it out of obligation, I do it for whatever, or I don't do it, I feel paralyzed by this. But when I see him, it's the only reasonable response. I want to gently suggest, and again, let's just humanize Judas for a moment. It's not a big, scary figure. I think many of us can have a response that feels more like Judas's response than Mary's response. And can I just say, myself included at times? That God moves, that I hear testimonies in my friends, and then I pivot right back to, yeah, but God, how are you going to provide? Like, that's the question that Judas is asking. He goes from, there's a miracle that Jesus just raised someone from the dead, and he goes straight to asking questions of provision. Sound like any of us, if we're honest? Like, I've seen God move and I believe I'm going to be with him for eternity, but I don't know about the provision questions. I think that sounds, whereas Mary was like, what do I have to give? What can I offer to Jesus? An audacious act of worship. And the reason is because she saw God and knew that he would make a way. He'd provide. He's God. So I'm going to worship him. I'm going to give him the praise he deserves. Can I encourage us? I want us, and let me just say, like, I think this comes from a repentant heart to say, like, man, Jesus, I want to worship. I want it to be a response to what you've done for me. I don't want to have, you know, Judas's response was he was angry at Mary's worship. Some of us, we get irritated when we see people worshiping because we're not seeing the breakthrough ourselves yet. Or we just get frustrated in the season we're in. But Jesus endorses Mary's type of worship.